The ignored creator is rejected. That theme covers the Bible from Genesis 1 to John 19. First, we start with the fall of Adam. If you start your Bible over every year, you always start with the creation account. And 1 and 2 of Genesis, the whole universe is created. And by chapter 3, we find Adam and Eve sinfully rebelling and hiding from God. I mean, they're the only ones that knew him face to face, and they hid. That's what sin does. It makes us ashamed, and it always should. We live in a society that doesn't want sin to be shameful. In fact, we want it to be funny, and we want it to be acceptable. God says sin is shameful. You should be ashamed of it. It is horrific. It's evil in the sight of a holy God. So Adam and Eve at least knew that. So they hid from God. And from that, we see the decline and fall of the human race to such an extent that God had to drown every one of the descendants of Adam and Eve except for the 8 souls that were in Noah's family. So God scoured the earth of all humans and drowned them. That's how great his anger was at sin. And we've only gotten to, that's chapter 4 to 9. We've only gotten through the first 9 chapters of the Bible, and already we see that. Well, after God was rejected as the creator that should be adored and revered and obeyed and worshipped and flooded the earth, he starts over with Noah and his family. And there we see the human race still declines. As humanity began to multiply, God had to intervene against mankind united at the Tower of Babel. That was the ultimate expression of humanism. They said, look what we can build. We can do anything. We don't need God. We can do it ourselves. That's what humanism says. And so because humanity spoke only one language at that time, by the way, science has just caught up with that. It's interesting, they've been doing computer models. The more faster and the more teraflops of computing we can do, they're analyzing linguistics, and what they're finding is the common elements, and they're tracing and finding that all human language comes back to, interestingly enough, right where the Bible says the Tower of Babel was. So they've just caught up with God again, you know, scientifically. But God confused the languages back then so that mankind couldn't work together, and they spread out across the planet. But the one common thing they took with them is what we call the rise of idolatry. From the Tower of Babel, they said, we don't need God. We're going to make our own gods. And idolatry began to permeate every culture and every nation so that God had to reach down and start his post-flood witness with Abraham. And he had to call him out of idolatry that filled the world by Genesis 12. I mean, we're only 10 chapters after the creation event ended, and idolatry has just filled the earth. And from his descendants became the Israelites, the descendants of Abraham, to whom God revealed himself. And so God chooses Israel. Now, Israel didn't choose God. One of the strongest evidences of divine election and sovereign election is Israel. Israel didn't choose God. God chose them. He said, I set my love on you, not because you were big or nice. I wanted you. And he chose Israel as his own special people. And it's amazing to think what he did with them. After he multiplied them in Egypt, he led them out in a miraculous exodus like we celebrated Thursday night. He instructed them to represent God in every dimension of life. That's all they were supposed to do. He said, I want you to raise your livestock in a way that represents me and do your fields in a way that represents me. And I want you to dress in a way that represents me. And I want you to have a calendar that represents me. And most of all, I want you to have a character that the world sees is absolutely congruent with God, and then I want your worship to focus completely on me. And that was the offer he made. And God instructed them to build a meeting place to meet with him as their God, first a portable one and then a permanent one, and God, the creator himself, actually came down into that tent and later on into that building. And he met and talked, and he led them. He showed great displays of power and thunder and pillars of fire. And he spoke, and he asked Israel to be his special representatives. But most of them would not. Do you want to know what most of that part of the Bible is about? All the people that God asked to represent him had other plans. Something more important than what God wanted them to do. God told them how he wanted them to conduct their lives and their families and their business and everything about them and what their focus should be. And they said, no, I've got other plans. Thanks for yours, but mine is better. And that's just the history of Israel. Can you imagine that any person would think that their plans or their activities or their hobbies are more important than the plans offered to them by their creator? But you know, that extends right down to today, because did you know the most commonly confessed sin in the Church of Jesus Christ is that I don't have time to commune with God. That's the most frequently confessed sin of the church. I don't think much has changed. I think people still think their plans are better than God's, because who wants to read his plan when I've got so much of my own to do?